Business Pilot.
Well, hey, it's been a while. This is What I Might Say. This is the podcast where I give some advice to my younger self, but I also think of the advice that they'd give me. I started this project about 6 months ago when I first decided to become a freelancer. So I thought it'd be good to do a six-month check-in to see how I think I'm doing. Give some advice to that person who, 6 months ago was just scampering, trying to figure out how they were going to make this work. Maybe you might get some tips out of it yourself if you're, thinking of freelancing yourself and you're not really getting a lot of advice from people who are relatively fresh and don't exactly know what they're doing at it. That's the perspective you might get from here. So I thought I might start by talking a bit about the decision to do this. The job that I was working in for about 2 years was in radio as a sound designer, as an audio creator, which I'd done for years before, and I'd done commercial production as well. So a lot of my day-to-day was working with sound. And I had a really good passion for that for a long time. And what I started to realize over time in this more recent role was that I wasn't sure what my next career step was. And I wasn't sure what skills I needed to develop, how I was going to do that. I was just starting to maybe realize that the next step was probably going to be the toughest one for me personally. That became something that was really hard for me to wrap my head around. I think if I'm being brutally honest, I couldn't really find a way to give 110%. I always found a way to do that, and that was what drove my confidence and gave me ideas and inspired me to move forward and have a next big thing to work towards. It was so hard for me to wrap my head around, and I just didn't know how to move forward or how to talk to people about it, because it was just such a strange problem for me to encounter after basically my whole career never having to confront something like that. Like, I've always had something and that just wasn't happening as much. And basically all that summed up is to me just not feeling as passionate about the work I was doing as I once did. That really sucked. That was a very sad realization for me. But also, I didn't see a way out of it. The great thing about the work that I was doing is that it was a full-time job in the media industry. How cool. You've got a salary, you've got annual leave, you've got sick days. You get to do a creative thing every day while also doing the safe and responsible thing. You've got a house and you've got rent to pay. I now have a wife. We had to have a wedding and a honeymoon and make sure that we're doing fun things in our life, buying things for our house, being on top of bills. It was really easy to have both my creativity be part of my life, but also my foundations be, well cared for. But when the work bucket wasn't working for me, that really started to affect me. And what affected me probably more was making the choice every day to not do anything about it. A lot of people don't like their jobs. Maybe I'm just one of those people now that just doesn't like their job, and I can bear through it, and maybe that's normal. Maybe it's okay to just not enjoy your job. So every day I'd make that choice to stay and find ways around the way I was feeling. I was able to sort of change how I valued my work and what I did for a living and how I earned money. And, when things weren't too busy and the work was manageable and I wasn't investing all my time into work, the balance was really good and I think I was getting the hang of it. But then all of a sudden a wave had hit where you were super busy or you really needed to put a lot of mental focus into work. And so you'd get that reminder and a tidal wave of just sort of maybe inner sadness would hit. Eventually a job came up and I didn't get it. And I think the question that I asked myself was at the time, okay, if that same job were to come up in 6 months' time, do you think you would be able to prepare yourself and be ready and be the person that could get the job then? And I knew the answer was no. The answer was no, because I didn't think I was developing myself professionally. I wasn't growing my network. I wasn't building skills. I was just declining in confidence. And I knew that in 6 months' time, I'd probably be in a worse position to apply for a job that I thought I was really ready for. And I thought, that's a huge problem. And then maybe 6 months later, I spoke to a counselor, and it was interesting their perspective, because it was totally different to what I was being told by myself and a lot of people that were close to me. It was, well, if you're after stability, why don't you just go take a job in mining? Why don't you just go drive trucks or be an offsider or a nipper, take even swings and earn way more money? That's a total left of field thing, and I know that that is not an easy thing to do, but I also know I'm a pretty determined person. I'm pretty competitive. Maybe I could give that a crack. Maybe I'd be able to overcome the difficulties of starting a job like that. And then they also said, well, if you want to keep doing this, this is a risky industry. And the people that have been successful in it didn't just sit in a 9-to-5 and it worked. They took a massive risk. They put a bet on the table. Oh, I quit my job and I moved to England and I had $2 to my name and I, you know, did something with it. I knew that I couldn't go to an extreme like that. I didn't have that in me. But I knew that there was a good point there, and that was that I can't expect things to change without having a bit of a punt. And I really thought about it. I was like, well, if I were to freelance and maybe edit podcasts, make music again for people, mix music, do video editing again, write scripts, come up with content ideas, just be that person that's around, I could really earn more as someone who can be a really good jack of all trades and be open to any sort of work. Because I didn't just want to do radio. I wanted to do a lot of different things. I felt I needed to be able to put my hand up for it and, you know, look for these opportunities and take them with two hands. I feel like I'd be capable of doing that. I think I'm very aware of how difficult it's going to be. I know roughly how long I'm going to have to do it tough for. I know what's going to probably need to happen if it doesn't work. But I also know if this works, it's going to work really well. So I want to try this. So I decided to leave, but I gave myself a 2 month head start. So instead of a 2 week notice, I worked for a couple of months there, but I just went through every contact I had, searched down the rabbit hole for, you know, different people that could potentially be looking for employees or work. I've tried really everything under the sun to see what was out there and what I could be doing that wasn't just, you know, making promos for a radio station. I thought I'd done this safely, but it was much riskier than I thought. I essentially left without any savings, really, any real solid, you know, job or gig opportunities. And I decided to do this in in December, January, when everyone was on holidays. I really had to be quite patient because, you know, there just wasn't a whole lot happening in December, January, even February, really. I had a few tiny little things come in that had varying levels of success, but the start of the year, I got really scared. It does take a while for these things to happen, but I was really worried because just it just wasn't happening. Fortunately, I'm really grateful for my wife who, you know, was prepared to do this. She said, I trust you. I think you have enough drive in you to make something work. I'm willing to see this out with you for a bit, which was such a huge, huge help to feel like I was being backed in to do this. Having said that, I didn't want to put the responsibility on her. So I really felt the squeeze because I just wasn't bringing enough in to pay every single bill that came in at one time in January. Is that always how it goes? We had the water bill, we had the rates, electricity, gas. It felt like all due on the same day when I had no money coming in. And that was when my gut really dropped. So then I had to start really calculating in my head, okay, this might not work for another 3 months. What's my plan now? And the plan now was to go, okay, well, maybe I just go on Seek. I'll have a look at just sort of jobs that are nearby. And I was thinking to myself, even if I just got a job to tide us by until something works, if I have to put this to the side for a bit, that's okay. But eventually the pressure just wore off and people started answering the phone and I had stuff come in. So 6 months in, I've got sustainable work for a bit. I'm back working in radio, but the difference is now is that I've got one foot out. I'm not bound to a single full-time role. I've got other projects to work on that I can say yes to and make time for. It's definitely a lot more hours. It's definitely a lot harder work, but I am really in the mood to dig deep and I'm kind of liking the idea that I'm rekindling that passion that I had for radio and, you know, what I was really good at. But I'm also bringing so much more to the table now because I've got all these other like podcast projects and music projects and even, you know, video. It's stuff that I haven't touched in ages. I've even got in front of a microphone in front of crowds again. And I would say that the fact that I'm still doing this and I'm still going to be for a little while longer, I would call that a success. So I'm really happy about that. But I'm really keen to give some advice to that person who just started out who was absolutely scared shitless. You know, I look back at when I was just Googling like crazy all the do's and don'ts of freelancing and how to do it and the best tips and advice. I'd like to maybe reframe the two main ones in a way that might fit how I see things now after only 6 months. So the first piece of advice I'd see everywhere was don't charge by the hour. If I'm talking to myself 6 months ago, I'm saying to you not to not charge by the hour, but I think the more useful piece of advice for me is get off hourly rates as soon as you can. I found that working and calculating and quoting off an hourly rate in the beginning was a really good yardstick because I had a rough idea of how long things would take me. I knew how much I wanted to charge by the hour. I could at least present a number to the client. And the great news was is that I never got a, oh, that's too expensive. I got a, oh, that sounds fair and reasonable. And I'd go, great. That usually means you've undercharged, but that's okay. I would rather undercharge in this circumstance because I need the work, I need the portfolio. But once I started to get to work on these projects that I'd quoted for, I was really conscious of how much time I was spending on them because how much money you are getting for this job and how much time you're spending on it are joined at the hip because that's what you've based your price on. So if you worked a little bit longer than you expected, you'd be a bit disappointed that you didn't quote for it correctly. If you worked on it a bit less than you expected, you go, well, oh, geez, I better spend a bit more time on this. And there was a bit of anxiety around how much time I was spending on things. And it sort of hits you. It's like, do I really want to value the time that I'm putting into this or do I want to value the total output? Once I started to realize that I could, you know, quote roughly on how much time I was going to spend, but more about how valuable this thing is and what is a reasonable price for this client to pay, I don't have to worry about how much time I'm spending on it. I mean, within reason, I still want to be efficient, but regardless of how long I spend on this, do I feel happy with how much I charged? The aim is to say yes, and you know, for the client to say that as well, regardless of how much time spent on it. I couldn't say don't ever charge off an hourly rate because it was such a really effective way to learn how I need to approach the work that I'm doing with people. The second piece of advice was have 6 months worth of your salary saved. Have 3 months of your salary saved. Have 2 months of savings to back up on. Have a year's worth. There was just a completely arbitrary amount of money you needed to have in a bank account was the main piece of advice so that when things are quiet, you have, if nothing's coming through, you've got something there to look after you. And the question I was thinking, oh man, I don't have any savings. Can I still do this? I would say you don't need it, but you just cannot negotiate at all. You've got no leverage. That was the hard part. It's like, well, I don't have any savings. I need money coming in. I need to say yes to this job or make it work no matter what. So you're inclined to undercharge. You're inclined to take on projects that you're not as prepared for as you think. You're putting in the extra mile for things that just costing more. You know, for example, I worked on producing a song with someone for, you know, a little small project they were doing. And I thought, this, okay, that's easy. That's a nice straightforward thing. But I ended up having to travel to a few different locations. And we had to also wait and have, you know, people that were singing on it be coached and understand how to sing it properly because it was in another language. And it's like, well, I'm really people-pleasing here because I need to get to the end of this and have a satisfied client and a good result. And fortunately we did, but that was I really had to work hard for that. Now that I have at least a little bit of savings, I can try and be a little bit more assertive with how I'm going to price and negotiate with people, because if it doesn't work out, it's not the worst thing in the world. And if it does work out, then I get rewarded for that and I actually gain some experience negotiating. And that's just something that's that wasn't on the table for me when I didn't have any savings or a fallback, you know, when essentially this job was going to pay a bill for me. That pressure's not there, so you can reprioritize a bit. I might actually want to put some time into projects like this one that aren't really making money, like this, for example. Right now, then maybe I'll sacrifice that and do some projects that spark a bit of joy. That's an interesting thing, is there's no such thing as, I'm just going to do my passion project that's not going to pay anything, when, you know, you've got a job sitting right there and you've got the groceries. You got to go, well, I guess I won't make that cool electronic music track. I will do this little job here for an hour a week and just get some money coming through. So now my goal for the next time I do an episode, maybe in 6 months, would be to have an even larger fallback and actually work towards that. And now I really understand the importance of that. Did I need it? Well, fortunately, no, because I was resourceful enough. I was willing to give up enough of my life and of my expectations to get some money coming through. Just as a bit of a side, like these blogs and stuff that would say have XYZ amount of money saved, like I don't think I've ever seen that amount of money before in one place that I can access. Like it's such an obscene amount of money to actually save. Like for me personally, I suppose, like I'm not earning heaps of money and I'm not really, you know, 6 months before I decided to do this, it wasn't like I was building this massive nest egg for an emergency like this, you know. But having said that, I think if I had have, you know, done all these hard yards to save that money and be quote unquote ready to go, there probably would be another reason as to not do it. So I'm kind of glad I didn't let myself procrastinate and took the jump. But now that I understand the value and the importance of money, because I've actually gone without for a bit and now understand what it's like to not have a whole lot of money around, you definitely prioritize saving and you definitely prioritize this ability that you gain from having a savings behind you to be able to negotiate and advocate for yourself and prioritize in a way that you wouldn't be able to. So in summary, it's still hard. There's still challenges, but at the end of the day, you're doing it. And, you know, as much as I'm self-conscious of how far I've come and maybe I haven't done enough and maybe I'm still going through a whole lot of imposter syndrome, you know, if I'm being honest, I'm going through a lot of that right now. But then I go back to that person who started 6 months ago, and if they were to ask me, what are you doing? How's it going? And I'd say, we're doing it. I think that person would fall to their knees and just, oh, he'd nearly burst into tears. He'd be like, are you serious? You did it. How cool is that? You know, you might not be earning $1 million a year, but I said I wanted to do something different and go well outside of my comfort zone. And look at you, you're still doing it after 6 months. I think that is incredible. And for them to see who I am now, even though I'm going through a lot of imposter syndrome and anxiety, I've gained a lot more confidence as a person. I've done things that I never thought I'd be able to do. I officiated a mate's wedding. I've made a bunch of TikToks. I've worked on such unusual bits and pieces of content that I just would have never been exposed to before. And I feel this is exactly what I wanted. And if I get to say this in 6 months' time, you know, great. I can't really say what this is going to look like in 12 months, but I think I need to remember how stoked the person who was starting out would be seeing what I'm up to now. So the biggest piece of advice I think they could give, they'd just say, look, don't be scared. Keep going. Don't be scared. Keep going. It's really scary. And I don't know what the future's like. That's what freelancing is. You don't always know what's next. But there was a lot of adversity at the start and I got through it. And I think I can do it again now as a person with a lot more grit and confidence and ability and understanding of just a little bit more of how it works. Just don't be scared. Keep going is what that naive little fella 6 months ago would say. Very cathartic for me, but what I really hope is that, you know, there are some scenarios in here that might resonate with you and give you some help with whatever you're doing next. And I think don't be scared, keep going is a handy thing to remember just in general. But if you'd like to actually do an episode with me, feel free to hit us up on the Noise Pilot socials. I bet you have a way more interesting story than me, and I bet your younger self has a really cool piece of advice as well. Also, just if you like the show, just give it a rate and review. And yeah, we'll see you in the next one.